This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans. He is Senior Fun Buns, Brandon Funston from The Athletic. And Brandon, we're all licking our wounds as disaster and disappointment reign supreme in Week 15 of the fantasy football season. A lot of people getting bounced to all-time low scoring across playoff matchups. A number of notable names is going down in a heaping pile of crap for the most part. I mean, even last night in the Minnesota and Chicago game, you know, everybody thinks that Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne, Dalvin Cook, they're all going to go nuts because the Bears, you know, their front was mostly healthy, linebacker core mostly healthy, but the entire secondary was decimated. Not a single starter at corner, not a single starter at safety. And what did Kirk Cousins do? Couldn't even get to 100 yards. Like, what the hell? What the hell? Seriously. And that, I think, is a perfect summation of what has occurred this week in a wildly unpredictable week, given all the injuries, given the COVID just rabid news across the board. Man, just sorrowful. Oh. There's no other way to sum it up. This is why I drink heavily.
Yeah, I would like to say this is a one-off, but we've had more and more of these kind of weeks where it's just a lot of bad quarterback play. It's a lot of defensive-dominated games, a lot of bad play calling. Matt Nagy, I'm looking at you. God. I'm looking at a lot of other guys, but let's just make Matt Nagy the poster coach for that. Yeah, right now it feels like just in general it's either a dearth of talent at the quarterback position across the league right now. You're just not seeing a lot of quarterbacks consistently making, you know, consistent plays week in and week out. And I just think the defenses, maybe things are starting to swing. Defenses are figuring out the modern, you know, the more modern rules and, you know, how the NFL reacts to things. And I think right now it just kind of feels, and maybe it's too strong of a statement, but it kind of feels like the defenses, the pendulum swinging a little bit back in the defense's way. But I, like I said, I mean, we've had these weeks. This is maybe the worst of these weeks, but, you know, there's been plenty of these kind of just like, ugh, Mr. Yucksticker weeks in fantasy, you know, all season long.
Yeah, look, and here's a prime example. I was expected to lose handily to the good Sir Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports fame in one of my local leagues. I think he had an 80% chance at the week's start to handle me with ease. And I end up I now have an almost decisive advantage, depending what happens on Tuesday, barring complete disaster for me. And chances are that's probably what's going to happen. My, you know, two remaining players are going to swallow a grenade and his guys are going to go off. But, you know, that again, sums it up. Expect the unexpected. Expect upsets to be sprung. And for those that had a bye week in their fantasy playoffs, oh my God, you dodged the biggest bullet possible.
For now.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, with that, let's get to it with another edition of the Fantasy Five.
Number five.
All right, for the roughly six people that are still subscribing and listening to this podcast, Brandon, and are still alive in their fantasy football playoffs, let's talk about five interesting players of note. Some of these guys still available on league waiver wires in shallow formats, but if you already have them on your roster, we need to debate whether or not you should elevate them into your starting lineup. Let's start off with Justin Jackson. Now, we've got confusing and conflicting reports about Austin Eckler. Yesterday, according to local beat writers in LA, they said, hey, he's going to land on the COVID list. Well, he hasn't officially landed on the COVID list as of yet, but he is not practicing for the Chargers. So maybe that domino is yet to fall. But regardless, Justin Jackson is certainly a player of interest, coming off 99 total yards, 14 total touches last week, and who did the Chargers have on the horizon? The Houston Texans, a team in which they are favored by 10.5 against. Brandon, with or without Eckler on the field, is Justin Jackson worth your time?
Yeah, we've talked about this, you know, and throughout the year we get questions like, who's the handcuff for Austin Eckler? And we're like, well, it's
Mike Tolbert.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Let's get Mike Tolbert back. The world's better place when Mike Tolbert's in the NFL, the Kool-Aid man himself. And we always said that, like, you know, Joshua Kelly, Larry Roundtree, Justin Jackson probably be like this village that would replace Austin Eckler. But I mean, I think you saw last week with the 13 carries that Justin Jackson, there might still be a village, but that Justin Jackson would be the king of that village. If you're going to roster anybody as an Austin Eckler manager, you might as well grab Justin Jackson. But that's, you know, I wouldn't grab any of those other guys, but I think he's the best one-for-one replacement for what Austin Eckler does in this lineup.
Yeah, he really is. And, you know, he really impressed me last week. You know, he had the burst. We know he's got deft hands. We saw some elusiveness as well. Well north of 3 yards after contact per attempt in that game. And again, it's Houston. Okay, they rank inside the top 5 most fantasy points allowed to the running back position. So if Eckler is on the field, I think Jackson gets anywhere between 10 to 12 touches, and it could be north of that, especially if Eckler is out this entire week, can't practice, if there's any kind of conditioning issues, they could limit his snap percentage, much like they did last week because of the bum ankle. And if this game gets out of control, it could be Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly solding away the clock down the stretch. And, of course, if Eckler is out, Brandon, we may be talking about, I mean, without a doubt, easily a top 15 play, and I may even have Jackson ranked top 12. And I think you'd be with me on that.
Ooh. It is Houston. It is Houston. So it's hard. I don't know if I'd go fully top 12, but I'd probably be in the early RB2s if I wasn't top 12.
You're going to go fully. All right. Oh. If Austin Eckler is indeed sidelined.
Number 4.
All right. From West Coast to East Coast, let's talk about the mess in Miami. And it sounds like it's going to be a hot hand situation moving forward in an open competition in game, according to Brian Flores, between your boy, Myles Gaskin, and Duke Johnson. And, you know, much like Jeff Janis people, much like Kristen Michael zealots, there is a small subsect of the fantasy football community that has always been obsessed, and I've never understood it, in regards to Duke Johnson thinking he should be a 3-down back. Well, he couldn't get it right in Cleveland, couldn't get it right in Houston, but he goes back home, grew up in Miami, played at the University of Miami, and maybe, you know, him getting back to his roots is finally unlocking his full potential, Brandon, because he had a mammoth week 15. Can that continue in week 16? The matchup, though, not the greatest on Monday night against New Orleans on the road.
Can't do it. Can't do it with Duke Johnson. Sorry. It's a bridge too far. It's the New York Jets. It was Myles Gaskin not feeling a completely all the way 100% and allowing Duke Johnson to get the main run. I mean, Myles Gaskin still looked good. I mean, that's, you know, testament to the matchup. 10 carries, 54 yards for Gaskin. So he actually had a better yards per carry average than Duke. But give Duke credit. He took advantage of a delightful matchup. But look, at Myles Gaskin's going to pull even, you know, nearer and maybe even back into the lead of this platoon. And if it's a platoon for a Miami team that has had trouble running the ball all year long, and now you get New Orleans and then you get Tennessee, those are two defenses that absolutely know how to shut down the run. And so I'm not going to hang my fantasy playoff hopes on Duke Johnson after a perfect stars aligned kind of opportunity against the New York Jets last week.
Amen. Cosign on that viewpoint. Duke Johnson, flex at best, I would say, even in a 14-team league. You know, it depends upon what your other options are, you know, what you're debating, juggling at wide receiver, tight end, to throw in that flex or another running back. But you're right. I mean, look at the Saints, man. They have just been shut down up front. Second fewest fantasy points allowed on the season, the running back position, giving up 3.62 yards per carry, just 101.02 yards per game and 8 combined touchdowns. And if he puts it on the carpet, you know, that could be enough to get Gaskin more run. And if he can get hot, there you go. You know, it's all she wrote for Duke Johnson. Too much risk involved. Sure, pick him up. And maybe you throw him out there, and as an act of desperation, COVID is lurking. You never know who's going to land on the list with this spot testing that's going on in the league. But in terms of trusting him as a surefire RB2, nah, we're out.
Number 3.
All right, moving on, Brandon. Number 3 is a guy I didn't even know existed 2 weeks ago, and has now really turned it on here of late. North of 270 combined yards in his last two games, 4.62 yards after contact per attempt as well over that stretch. It's the surprising Detroit Lion, and the Lions were surprising as a collective last week, drilling the Arizona Cardinals, a last-place team, taking down the first-place team with ease, and a lot of that had to do with Reynolds. So this week, Detroit getting Atlanta on the road inside the top 10 of most fantasy points, a lot of the running back position. Do you think, you know, and I know you haven't done this yet, are you going to heavily debate moving Reynolds into your RB2 class, even with Jamal Williams back? And this, of course, assumes no DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to be bullish about the former Kutztown Bear.
Yeah, you pronounced that correctly. Well done. Mike Clay stands up and applauds you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just makes a lot of sense that Detroit would just kind of explore this option with Craig Reynolds. This guy that has good size, shows good instincts, has been producing. Let's keep it going. If he keeps doing it, he's a lot cheaper than Jamal Williams is. And maybe, you know, it's something where they can decide they want to move on and they like what they have in-house backing up DeAndre Swift next year. But yeah, again, this behooves Detroit to really give him continued run, and it's a great matchup against Atlanta. They give it the eighth most fantasy points to the running back position. So I'm going to follow the news out of Detroit this week. I would not be surprised if they said Craig Reynolds has continued to get a lot of run, and if they do that, yeah, he'll probably be inside my top 30 if I think they're going to really just continue to limit Jamal Williams. Might even push him into my RB2 range.
Look, full eval mode. You know, yep. That's what Dan Campbell is in. So, you know, you want to see what guys like Craig Reynolds have because you maybe want to, you know, extend their contract, have them stick around into next year in the rotation if that's what they seek. And honestly, I think that's the smart way to go based on the fragility that DeAndre Swift has shown this season. And I think Jamal Williams' deal might be up. I think it was a 1 year, if I'm not mistaken. So Reynolds could be part of a full-blown committee next season if he can finish on a high note. I think it's going to be Reynolds probably 70%, maybe, you know, 65% minimum this upcoming Sunday. So, yeah, I think he is very much in the RB2 conversation in 12-team and deeper leagues and certainly flexy sexy based on the matchup alone. As I mentioned, Atlanta, eighth most fantasy points allowed to the running back position. So if he's still out there sipping margaritas in the free agent pool, cast a line. Reynolds continues to have a December to remember.
Number two.
Oh, let's stay in the Motor City. And a guy that is revving the engine. He's a muscle car, though a mighty might in size. It's the sun god himself. Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Lions. My goodness, Brandon. He is on an absolute tear right now. Top 10 output here over the last three games. Hell, I'll give you the raw data because it is mind-blowing. 35 targets, 26 catches, 249 yards, and two touchdowns in his past three games. That's 63.6 fantasy points in PPR leagues. Hey, always start your stud zealots. Shut up.
I like that. Was that pun intended? I'll give you the raw data.
See what you did there. Yeah, well played.
He's rested away the song. It's Amon Ra Ra Ra. Ra 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 Ra. He's the guy now. Yeah, he's been so good. Sorry, Ramondre Stevenson. You had your chance in a featured spot. You let us all down. Amon-Ra St. Brown's one of the hottest receivers in fantasy. You're right. It's not always start your studs. It's start a guy that's getting all that work. You know, the 26 catches, 83 yards per game, and the two touchdowns in the last three games is phenomenal. So if you're sitting there and you're ranking your guys or you're sitting there and you're in a lineup and you're like, should I play Amari Cooper? Because look at Amari Cooper's track record so great in the past, but, you know, he's stuck in a game manager offense right now where he's not really getting a whole lot done. No, I'm going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown in an offense that always has to throw the ball. It's going against one of the best matchups this week in terms of running backs or wide receivers who's getting fed like a true number one go-to guy and is putting up big-time production each of the last 3 weeks. You got to start that guy. It's probably, I think about it, it took Hunter Renfro as soon as Darren Waller went down to, like, you know, just a couple weeks, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, he's in our top 15, top 17 wide receivers. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown should be a top 20 receiver ranked for you and for all the pundits.
I would say even higher than that, dude. I think he's top 15.
Well, I'm giving him a range. I haven't done it, but I'm sure I'll be higher than, like, 20 or 19 on him. I'm probably pushing the top 15 with him.
Yeah, I think initial ranks, I got him at wide receiver 12 this week. And a lot of that's based on the actual matchup. As you mentioned, it's Atlanta. And, you know, slide under the microscope and peer through the glass. He's going to go up against Richie Grant, who is the primary slot DB, where St. Brown lines up 68.1% of the time. Here's what Richie Grant has given up this season, Brandon. An 84.2 catch rate and 146.2 passer rating. Wow. I mean, can't get much better than that. You're riding this searing, sizzling hot hand, and now you've got a supreme matchup. Get Amon-Ra St. Brown in your lineup and laugh all the way to your title game.
Number one.
All right, Brandon, number one on the list, and we heard it straight from Bruce Arians' mouth on Monday. Much like it was Leonard Fournette's turn about this juncture last year on the schedule, he said, now it's time for Ronald Jones. As Fournette, it sounds like it's going to be sidelined for at least an indefinite period of time due to a hamstring injury. So Rojo, is he going to be on the go this week against Carolina? Last four games I saw in which he has played a majority of the snaps, he's gone RB14, RB4, RB14, RB4. Isn't that interesting? So is it going to be an RB4 finish for him this time around?
At least an RB14. Like, you look at the Buccaneers, and they are number five in terms of backfield fantasy production. This is one of the best spots. Of course, you get a playoff of the threat of Tom Brady in the passing game. So, and you know, you love to see Bruce Arians come out and say, we need Ronald Jones to do what Leonard Fournette did for us last year at the end of the year. It was like, really just take over. And, you know, he's rested. He's a talented guy, but, you know, and they went back and forth for a while. Leonard Fournette ultimately won out, but Ronald Jones is a quality talent, a very good talent in this league, and in one of the best offenses in the league. Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely a top 14 play, and it will not be surprising if down the stretch he has top five finishes.
Yeah, look, man, you look at the matchup on paper for the Carolina Panthers. You know, they've given up 4.25 yards per carry, only surrendered 112.5 total yards per game and 8 combined touchdowns on the season. That's a fifth fewest fantasy points of running backs. But you got a pissed off Tom Brady. Right? He's going to be highly motivated. All Microsoft surfaces, be damned. They're all in peril if things go awry for him again this week on the road in Charlotte. But look, if he torches the competition down the field, I know there's no Godwin. I know there's not going to be Mike Evans. But you get Antonio Brown back, he stretches the field. There's going to be a lot of goal-to-go opportunities for Rojo. And I think he's going to be able to punch one in. Initial fearless forecast, because I wrote about this in my Fantasy Flames column, which will be on Bally Sports midweek. I got him down for 16 carries, 65 yards, 4 catches. Yeah, he's been catching the ball. And that's going to be a key, you know, asset to his game, because that's what Leonard Fournette was, right? He was an extension of the run in the flat. 4 catches, 18 yards, and a touchdown. So that'd be 16.3 fantasy points and a half-point PPR. If he achieves that, it's going to be better than RB14. So, Ronald Jones, get him in your lineup here in the second round of your fantasy playoffs. Last note before we get out of here. Again, we don't have anything definitive on this, but if Joe Mixon is unable to go with leg/ankle issues, Samaje Perine would step in and be the workhorse. Terrible matchup against Baltimore, but would he be in that RB2 discussion?
I think so. And I think I want to say that he was kind of the main guy their last matchup against Baltimore, and he represented pretty well. I'm looking it up really quickly, but he went 11 for 52 and a touchdown and had one catch for 23 yards. And he is, you know, that's the thing about him. He is a physical runner, but he also can help you out in the passing game as well. And of course, you can hurt Baltimore that way. So because of there is some duality there, because he can get tough yards. Yeah, I'm absolutely. If he's the main guy, if Joe Mixon's out, he'll be in my RB2 conversation for sure.
Yeah, I just looked this up, and it's blowing my damn mind. Samaje Perine, in terms of yards after contact per attempt, Brandon, 4.06 on the season.
That's on the Chubb-like.
Season. It is. Nick Chubb is at 4.14. So, I mean, if you are in the fine company of the Chubb Club, you have earned your membership, my man.
Right. That's right.
So Samaje Perine could slam his way maybe the top 20 numbers this week, despite the daunting paper matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast. Please follow Funston on Twitter, at Brandon Funston. Follow me there, at Noisy Cuevas. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this broadcast. Really helps the show out tremendously. And as always, until next time, adios, amigos!